Okay, we're back. And I'm having fun today. Sometimes when I get up in the morning and I look forward to these 2 hours that I'm going to spend on the air, and so I'm just inclined to think, is there some way I can get out of it? But by the time I get in the middle of it, I begin to rejoice in my spirit because of the revelation and just the joy of sharing His Word and seeing His plan. And as we were talking about here, therefore, okay, where were we at? Okay, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam, also to his wife, did the Lord, Yahuwah, God, make coats of skins and clothed them. So what we have here, in some circles they would say, we would say, they had church. That's right, they had church. Here were the first two congregants of the ecclesia and their high priest. And they were having a sacrifice. They had church. And I'll bet you they were getting a sermon. That high priest was telling them all about it while he was doing it. When he slew that animal, he didn't go behind a bush and hide from Adam and Eve. He didn't hide from his children. This high priest did it full in their face, let them know exactly what was going on. You know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I'll bet you that was part of the sermon. The wages of sin is death, part of the sermon. You were disobedient. I am so glad you repented. You know, here's what's going to happen. The seed, the serpent seed, her seed, the virgin birth. They were getting the full sermon. Believe you me. Their high priest standing there with scars in his hands and his feet, telling them all about what was going to happen. And they were looking forward to that promised redemption because they knew that their flesh was going to be planted, that from dust they came and to dust they were going to return because they had a death sentence. But there was hope. And that's what they learned that day. And they received those skins made from those animals that were sacrificed. And they wore those skins to remind them of the shedding of the blood that covered their shame. Looking forward to the shedding of the blood of the promised Redeemer who would cover their shame and redeem them forever. For now, they had a temporary covering. And it wasn't a very good covering because they were going to die and return to the dust of the earth. Their grace period had an end. That's what happened. Because he said, the command was, you shall not eat, because in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Well, they didn't surely die. They didn't die in that day. They received a grace period. But the payment was due. Because our Creator is just. He was not going to say, well, it's okay. You know, you guys, you still live forever. No. The payment had to be due. What would it be like to live in a world where there was absolutely no justice? We have enough injustice in our world to demonstrate to each and every one of us that we would not like to live in a world without justice. You take the most atheistic unbeliever. They don't want to live in a world without justice either. Further proof that the things that are written in this book are true. No wonder they hate the Word of God so much, because they don't want to know the truth. They reject the truth so that they continue in their life of disobedience. And that means that they are the seed of the serpent. They are his seed. Their father is the devil because they choose disobedience. And unfortunately, that is the way of the majority of the people on the planet. So unfortunate that they will pay the price for their own sins. Because that is the price of disobedience. We've all been disobedient. I can't say I'm better than that atheist out there, because I'm not. I've sinned too. I'm getting better. I am learning obedience every day that I live and practice obedience. And every time I fail and get down on the knees of my mind, spiritually speaking, and sometimes I do get on my knees physically, and I say, I have sinned. I have been disobedient. Please help me, Heavenly Father. Yeshua, help me. Help me to learn obedience so that I may not sin against you. Write your words upon my heart. Write them in my mind. Make your word a lamp to my feet, that I can walk in your ways, that I will not sin against you. As the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Let that be our heart's cry. That's not the cry of the atheist. That's not the cry of the unbeliever who hates God's word, who hates the truth, who hates the things that I'm saying, who shuts his ears and does not want to hear because he wants to continue in disobedience. Sad, very sad, that someone would choose to pay the price for their own sin for a little bit of pleasure. Very sad. And meanwhile, throwing off true pleasure, lawful pleasure, because they'll be robbed of that. They'll be robbed of what's lawful as they relish what is unlawful, and they'll lose their souls and pay the price for their sins. The man has become one of us to know good and evil. Yes, know good and evil. We know now. Lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. So therefore, the Creator sent them forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And they had everything they needed in the garden. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And I'll bet you that serpent was disappointed. That serpent and his seed. Chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. You know, just as I've given you details that you know weren't written in the scripture, but you know they're true, and I know they're true too, because there's enough there that we know the details. So it's like this, you know, the objections of the atheist. Where did Cain get his wife? Since he was the only man. Well, it doesn't say here. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore their only son, their own first son, and this was the only man they got. This was the only child. It doesn't say that anywhere. No, Adam and Eve had sons and daughters besides Cain. Whether Cain was the first or not, we don't know. That's not written. He may have been the first, and he may not have been the first. She may have had multiple births, and I'll bet you she did. I'll bet you she had, you know, she probably could have had quintuplets. That happens today. She was the healthiest woman probably that ever lived. Genetically perfect. So, you know, so we don't know if Cain was the first. How many children? But here we're going to learn something. That's what we're focusing in on, a few people now. Obviously, they had other children, since Eve was the mother of all living. Remember, so we have to say, well, if Adam really said that, then it's true, because Adam didn't lie. He was the most intelligent man that ever lived, and if Eve was the mother of all living, then where did Cain get his wife? Well, he had to marry one of the other daughters or children of Adam and his mother Eve. She conceived, bore Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yahuwah, from the Lord. And she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now we're going to immediately get a demonstration of the his seed, the serpent seed, and her seed, the seed of the righteous seed. The obedient seed, because there's the difference. We're drawing an illustration here, a sharp contrast between those that choose obedience and those that choose disobedience. So we have Cain and we have Abel. Now, came to pass, and it says, okay, where are we? Was they gotten a man? And again, she bore his brother Abel, and whether they were twins or not, we don't know that. They could have been. They might have been, they might not have been. But Cain was born first. She says, I've gotten a man. She didn't say, I've gotten two men. So whether they were twins or not, if I have to go in the context with the little information, I would have to say no. But it, you know, it is possible they were twins. But it really doesn't matter for the story. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So they chose occupations. Abel was a keeper of sheep. Why would Abel keep sheep? Well, sheep had wool, didn't they? But let's go back. Remember the first sermon, the first church meeting with the high priest and Adam and Eve there? And the sacrifice was made, and the preacher preached. You know, the high priest preached them a sermon and told them about the sacrifice and what was going to happen. Told them about the scars in his hands and his feet. Told them about why the animal was being sacrificed, why the covering of the illustration, the symbol of the shed blood was an adequate covering for their sins, at least temporarily, to cover their shame, of the shame of their disobedience. Well, Cain and Abel knew all about this. They were told by their father. As a matter of fact, they may have been told by the high priest himself. I'm sure there were many sermons that were given. You know, at least I would guess that the high priest kept coming around. It obviously did, because, you know, well, let's read on. We'll see that he shows up here. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto Yahuwah, to the high priest. So in the process of time, Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering. Could we infer from that that in the process of time he also brought offerings before that? And what were his offerings before that? Well, he would have learned something else from his parents. He would have learned that the required offering was the slaying of an animal, the shedding of blood, and bringing that offering. That's what he would have learned. That's what I read here. And that's what we should be reading. Like I said, put on your Hebrew eyes and try to think when you read the Old Testament as a Hebrew thinks. They would have known immediately, if you were a Hebrew and you knew about the sacrifice, which they're well aware of, which they practice up until the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, that's what they would have read into the scripture. So it wasn't necessary to give all these details. There's enough detail here that we know that Cain and Abel were taught how to bring a proper sacrifice. And they knew the high priest also. They were taught about blood, the spilling of blood being required for the remission of sin. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flocks and of the fat thereof. And Yahuwah, the high priest, had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. You know what that means? You get angry and you're unrighteously angry. We've all been there. We've all had unrighteous anger. And how our countenance falls from that anger. We could get out of control. You ever feel out of control anger? I have. Most people have. And a lot of people read this story and they just gloss over it. And they read it with their Gentile eyes, their Romanized Christian eyes. And they think, well, why? You know, why? What's wrong with God? Why didn't he accept the work of Cain's hands? He accepted the work of Abel's hands. Well, okay, first of all, Cain and Abel weren't the only two people on the planet. Adam and Eve were still bringing the proper sacrifice. They were bringing the proper offering as they had been taught at the first church service, the first meeting of the ecclesia. They taught their children. But Cain, see, what happened with Cain? He said, God's going to have to accept the work of my hands. His sacrifice is not going to be good enough for me. I'm going to do it myself. I don't want, maybe it's pride, I don't need anybody to pay the price for my sins. I'll pay the price for myself. And he was being tempted. He was the seed of the serpent, the seed of disobedience. That's what Cain was. He said, God is going to have to accept the work of my own hands. So we get into all the works-based religions out there. That's basically what it was. Cain was starting his own religion, saying it's the work of my hands or it's nothing. And Abel said, no, I'm going to look forward to the promised redemption through the work of the promised Redeemer. There is no other hope. By faith, Adam and Eve looked forward, as we shall see. By faith, Abel looked forward. He brought the proper sacrifice. He was called righteous Abel. His countenance fell, and the high priest said unto Cain, Why are you angry? Why are you wroth? Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? If you do well, what does that mean? It means he knew what was right. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? Cain, you've done the right thing before. Why are you bringing me this work of your hand sacrifice? That's not sufficient, Cain. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? Okay, this sacrifice is not acceptable. The work of your hands is not acceptable. Cain, you will lose your life. You will have to pay the price for your own sins if you continue in disobedience, if you choose disobedience. Cain, choose obedience. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin. Disobedience lieth at the door. And unto thee, his desire? Whose desire? The seed of the serpent. The serpent's desire. And you shall rule over him. Look at that. This is kind of the same thing that he told the man and the woman about desire and ruling over. Her desire shall be to rule over you, but you shall rule over him, he said to Adam. The woman's going to desire to rule over you, but you shall rule over him. He's saying the same thing to Cain here. About what? The seed of the serpent. About disobedience. He's personifying disobedience. And he's calling it sin, lying at the door. Unto thee his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. But you should rule over him. This is the way it's supposed to do. Cain, repent. Come into an agreement with me that this is wrong. Disobedience is wrong. And choose obedience. That's what he's telling him. But he didn't give up his anger, did he? No, he was very wroth. His countenance fell. He was out of control now. He fell for the temptation, because that's what temptation is. We've all felt that temptation to be angry unrighteously. That is a temptation. Righteous anger? No matter what our anger is, a tempter will always come in and tempt us to do that which is unlawful. And yes, you know, you feel that rejection. It hurts. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to do the right thing, or are you going to do the wrong thing? You're going to do what the serpent seed tells you to do? The disobedient, the serpent tells you to do? Or are you going to do what's right? You're going to listen to the unholy spirit of the serpent seed, or are you going to listen to the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father? We always have a choice, don't we? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Further evidence that the things that are written in this book, that is true. The evidence is in us. We know it. So, Cain chooses not to rule over him, but he chooses to give in to the desire, the temptation. I bet you he went away and he stewed. And he just listened to that seed, that serpent, whisper in his ear. And he just got angrier and angrier. And he started blaming God. Oh, God should accept. Oh, I hate that Abel. That's what the serpent was telling him. He was teaching him how to hate his brother, not how to love his brother. Because remember the law of our Heavenly Father? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and your might. And the second commandment like unto it, you shall love your neighbor. You shall love your brother as yourself. Cain now hates his brother. And Cain talked with his brother Abel. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, the Lord, Yahuwah, our Creator, said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Here you have a man. I'm imagine that. You're out, you know, you just slew your brother and you hid him in the field. You buried him. You covered up your sin. You knew it was wrong. You could see Cain out there. And here comes the high priest. He's walking along. He says, Hey, Cain, where's Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? What does this tell you about Cain? He doesn't believe that his Creator knows. He thinks he can hide his sin. You ever been tempted to, after you did the wrong thing, after your act of disobedience, you ever been tempted to cover it up so nobody would find out? Yeah, he thought he covered it up pretty good. So the high priest said to him, "The Lord Yahuwah, the Lord, said to him, 'What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Cain, I know everything. You can't hide this from me. Your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now are you cursed from the earth?'" Suddenly Cain he's feeling pretty ashamed. He's feeling pretty naked himself. I'm sure he's clothed. I'm sure he has skins on. But he's feeling pretty naked right about now. "You are cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand." Murder. Thou shalt not murder. He hated his brother and killed him without a cause. "When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the high priest, he said unto the judge, the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." I mean, Cain is now, life had been fairly easy. Yeah, he had to work hard, the sweat of his brow, and the earth brought forth the fruit, but now everything has changed. It's not going to be so easy anymore. It's not going to be that easy anymore. And he says, "Oh, my punishment is greater than I can bear." Wow, you know what? It doesn't sound like Cain is repentant, does it? What is Cain thinking about? He's thinking about himself. He doesn't care about his brother, whose bloody slew. "I'm sorry. Oh, I am so sorry. I've done the wrong thing. I have committed, I murdered my brother. Please forgive me." Be sure to join me next time for Cross the Border. Cross the border in the kingdom of our Heavenly Father and live forever. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, more important in this life than that you cross the border into His kingdom and obtain eternal life.